Hello and welcome to episode 150 of the Veg Grower Podcast. I'm Richard and today's title is Propagators. Coming up today, I have a diary of which I shall be covering what has been happening on the plots over the last few weeks. It's been a while since I covered that. I then will be talking a little on the propagators that I use and why I use them and how I use them. And I honestly feel that at this time of year, propagators come into their own. But before that, let's get on with the diary. Now, with all the festive seasons over the last few weeks, it's been a kind of weird time. There's been a few extra days off work, but also busy visiting or being visited by with family and friends. It feels like the last few weeks have been a bit of a blur. I also came down with a rather nasty cold, which meant I couldn't get out and do anything for a few days, which is really annoying, but when it comes to health, that has to come first, and going in the cold to work while feeling unwell is not a good idea. So I had to stay in bed, and I was kind of watching reruns of A Good Life because there was nothing on the TV. And it was actually really interesting to watch, from my perspective, how the goods in that TV show approached their way of self-sufficiently and how modern thinking changes in comparison with what they were doing. Now, that being said, I did manage a few jobs on the plots, which was really good. And something that I did manage to do was down the allotment. And that was to clear the large bed of on the newer half of the plot of all the weeds and strawberries that were taken over. Now, this bed is now clear, apart from a few leeks and the brassicas. And this means now I can move on and get on with more jobs. And this bed is now ready for filling up with compost manure, well, building the frame, of course, and filling up and planting. Books a day, I sowed a few Elisa Crag onions. These have sprouted and started growing. And I'm pleased to say that yesterday I sowed the rest of a packet just to use the packet up because they're no good after the first year. Now, these onions are a white variety, but they're meant to be pretty large and good for the show bench. I don't enter shows, but I do eat lots of onions. And if I can use a large one, I'm going to use it. Now, this Saturday, I managed to do a few jobs in the garden at home. First, it was a bit of a tidy up after the storm we had throughout the week. Thankfully, we didn't have a huge amount of damage. In fact, we had very little damage. But there was a few plots blown around which needed picking up. After that, I decided it was time to have a major prune of the rosemary bush that had grown basically over the path, meaning that I had to walk on the grass to pass it by. Now, walking on the grass, I've got to say, isn't a huge problem. I'm not a grass fanatic. But the problem I have is we've got a very clay soil, and when it rains, the ground gets very wet, slippery and muddy. And of course, that means I walk it into the house, and that upsets the wife. So, in order to clear the path, I hard pruned back the rosemary bush. I simply just cut the bunch off as far back as I could go without cutting into the main stem. And this did mean cutting into the woody areas of this plant. The thing with rosemary is that it tends to grow quite large, but as it grows large, it produces woody stems in the centre. And it happens every rosemary bush I've ever grown. It seems to happen. It seems like a normal state for it. And the woody stems, like lavender as well, they kind of don't look nice, but they don't produce any of the herbs that we want. And when you cut it back today, they don't tend to grow back there. Now, to stop this from happening, it's almost impossible to stop it completely from happening, but it can be reduced with regular pruning, which I normally like to do just by harvesting. But this bush, it's kind of got beyond that state. When I inherited it, it was in a state, and I didn't hard prune it earlier. Now, I've only hard pruned the area to clear the path. There's where it was growing around the back, I've left it there because it's not in a way, and I can harvest it from there and it'll still grow there. So I haven't killed the plant off or made it useless. Just cleared it from where I need it. And the rosemary prunings, I've taken a few cuttings to grow a few more plants from, and the rest have been dried in the shed so I can use them up in the kitchen. Not gone to waste. After the rosemary, I felt it was time to prune my blueberry bushes. Again, I've never really pruned these. So it was well overdue. I'd never pruned them because I've heard Bob Flower during Gardener's Question Time many years ago say the thing with blueberries is to do as little as possible. I may have taken that a bit too far. I've been researching it lately, and what we're really wanting is two-year-old stems. And pruning blueberries is actually very easy, really. The younger stems are red, whereas the older ones, they just look old. They've gone a darker colour. So I've cut out the older stems. And any that were crossed or looked diseased, they were also cut out. And what I really like about pruning, while I'm pruning, is I'm looking over the plant and inspecting it, and I'm kind of inspecting what's going on. So I was looking at the buds, and I've got the larger buds, which are the fruiting buds, as well as the smaller buds, which are the leaf buds. Now that's obviously obvious to many people listening, but it's just nice to take the time to look and see the difference with these things. After the blueberries, I headed into the greenhouse and sorted out the water butt that I keep in there. And what I removed the water butt while I had done some work. With the water butt removed, I stacked three small pallets on top of each other, sitting over the original pallet. Now that original pallet is where the hedgehog has made its home, so I didn't want to disturb it. So the pallets, that pallet's there, I've got the three newer pallets sitting over it. And once they were secure and level, I popped back on the water butt. And I then pumped water from an outside water butt into this one, and that's good to go. All this has really achieved is raising up the water butt, which means when I link up my soaker hoses, with them being higher up, there's going to be more water pressure to push the water through the pipes and around the greenhouse, making life a bit more efficient. And there's no moving parts in this system, so win-win. Sunday, headed down the allotment, and I was basically just spent a few hours weeding. It was a windy day, quite warm, and all I really wanted to achieve was weeding, and I'd done quite a bit of it. The only other job I did manage to do was to empty one of the compost bins from all the well-rotted compost that I had in there. The well-rotted compost has been stored into buckets for the time being and will be used as and when I need it. But the main reason was to empty this bin because the bin next to it was overfilling, so I needed to empty it out and put it to use, which has been done. Now, that is the diary up to date. Plenty going on and plenty to do. So, as I said last week, the new feature, read out what the Garden Days calendar suggests to do for this week. And this week in the garden, move containers to a sheltered place and cover the surface with a thick layer of straw for added protection from frost damage. Pots that are too heavy or big to be moved can be insulated with layers of bubble wrap or sacking. Unless it's frosty, trees and shrubs can be planted in containers. Now, that's what Canada recommends to do this week. I'll take it on board and see if there's anything that needs doing. It's not a bad idea. Not bad advice, in my opinion. But yeah. Okay, propagators. Come in many, many shapes, sizes and variation. But I basically have two types. Heated and unheated. I like to use a heated type to get seedlings off to a start when it is still too cold. This is where my first propagator comes into play, and this propagator, to be honest, is not a very good one from my experience. I can't tell you, I've had it for years, so I can't tell you the make and model, but it's a long thin style designed to sit on a windowsill, and the base consists of a plastic tray. And then inside this sits a heater mat. And this heater is about 10 watts, so quite low power wattage. Trays of compost and seeds are placed on top of the heater mat. And then a clear plastic lid sits on top of this with two vents at the top. These vents I keep closed at this stage, as this is used for germinating seeds. And my complaint with this type of propagator is that the base is actually bowed and nothing I can do will make it seal properly. It still does a job, so I'm not going to throw it out or anything just yet, but that is what I'm not keen about it. Anyway, my seeds are in here, and once they've all germinated in there, I move them into my Skanky Growarm 100. Now, I've had one of these propagators for years, and it's fared up really well, really pleased with it. By the end of last year, I did buy another one, purely because in Wilkinson's they were selling them off cheap, and I bought them for a fiver instead of a £25. These propagators are 38 centimetres by 24 centimetres with 19 centimetres height. And unlike the previous propagator, this comes in two parts. It's got a base with a 7-watt heater built into it. And the top, which again is just a clear plastic lid with two vents in the top. Now when I move seedlings into here, I have the vents open just to improve ventilation, reduce the risk of diseases or fungi attacks, such as damping off. They do a larger version, a Growarm 300, which is larger. I have no need for any more, but they're well worth it. And I do recommend these Skanky ones. I will add a link to an Amazon for these, should you be of any interest to you. Anyway, once the seedlings have grown, and I think they're going to survive without the heat, I prick them out into individual pots and place them into an unheated propagator, which is basically like the propagators I just listed, but without the heater. Well, the ones I actually use now are my root trainers. And the root trainers come with a plastic, clear plastic lid that sits over them. And that does fine. And it just sits in front, inside a water tray, so it's getting bottom water. But I still like to keep them near the heated propagators, just so it gets a little bit of heat just coming from the propagator. And just takes the edge of things. Admittedly, my little potting shed is quite warm, so it's not essential, but it just helps. And of course, being clear plastic, it just lets light through to grow the plants on. Now that is the propagators that I use and how I use them. Basically for starting seeds off and growing on seedlings with a little heat to improve germination rates. Which at this time of year is a very, very welcome. And I like to think of propagators as mini greenhouses. And at this time of year with chilies, aubergines, needing perhaps a bit of head start just to get a decent amount, they come into their own. I will be starting things like chilies and aubergines, things that need a long summer, just to start them off. I'll be starting those off in January, and with the heated propagators, they just get off to a good start quickly, early. It means that come time to plant them out, they're already pretty big plants, which means they'll flower soon and go on to produce well. There is another type of propagator that I don't own, but I would much prefer to own. And that is basically a heated propagator that has a thermostat. This thermostat just means that the temperature of the propagator is controlled. When it reaches a temperature, it will cut out, the temperature will drop, and it will cut back in to raise the temperature back up. And this means you can tailor, because some seeds like different germination temperatures, so you can tailor the heat to the plants. The trouble with these, which is why I don't own one, is the expense of them. I've seen them around the £60 mark, which is a lot of money. Of course, if I could justify it, I would buy one, but at this present moment in time, I just can't justify it. And there is my experience with propagators. I wouldn't say they are necessary. I would say I feel they have improved my germination rates really highly. And I do recommend them for better germination and also getting plants off to an earlier start. But, of course, if you don't want to at the expense of a propagator, you can, of course, germinate seeds indoors on radiators and things like that. I've known many, many people that do that, and it works absolutely fine. I don't do it because my wife does not want me doing it indoors, and happy life, happy wife, happy life. So with that, I'm going to wrap up for this week. Thank you very, very much for listening. Please don't forget to visit the website, thevegrowerpodcast.co.uk, where you will find blog posts from all my podcasts. You'll find a forum and much, much more. And if you've enjoyed this episode or have any comments, suggestions or anything like that, please get in touch and I would love to hear from you. So till next time, please take care and let's grow our food.